Well, hi, Kirstall, and family and friends and all those that join us online. I come to you from the Coastal Center today, which is a real joy because it's, since March, I haven't been in here to be able to preach. But we truly are doing everything we can to warm up and get ourselves to reopen, which we have plans, and I'll let you know about that. But before we go on, and obviously this weekend is a memorial weekend, and we just want to just spend a moment just to just think about it, pause, be grateful on our hearts for those that have paid the ultimate price for our freedom and our peace. And I just wanted to just send a prayer out to those that obviously have loved ones that they miss over this time, and those that we're wanting to just kind of be mindful of. And so, Father, as we go through the memorial weekend, we're reminded of all the countless thousands of souls that have given their life to bring us peace and bring us freedom. Because truly, freedom is not free. It has cost lives. And so, Father, for all those that remain behind and their loved ones have passed on because of giving their lives in the military, we just want to just ask that your loving arms will comfort them. Would you hold them? Would you encourage them and allow them to understand how you also sent your son to pay the ultimate price and bring us freedom. So we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so it's week 10. We come to you and with our online sermon, and I just wanted to say thanks to John and Joey and Juan and Val that have all kind of chipped in and helped me minister these weekends that we've gone through. But obviously things have evolved, and time has taken 1 week to 2 weeks, and now we're sitting at 10 weeks into this, and I've noticed things to evolve because of online services sermons. And the first one is that the listening participation has kind of dropped off, and I understand it's just tough, especially you've got family on Sunday mornings or whenever they need breakfast and they need a few things, and I understand that. It's fairly challenging for us to try and minister to a camera, and so we understand clearly. And obviously when you try and throw a joke out while preaching, it really doesn't fly when you're throwing it at a camera. But we've all adjusted and we've gone through that, and there's also been an increase, and I call it a buffet of sermons and messages that have come to be a choice that we can have a look at and indulge in. And so we've come across series and other topic messages that have been presented in such an attractive way that obviously it's made you look at different other series and other ministries, and that's fine. But as a pastor, I just wanted to kind of caution us. And it comes from a heart where I truly hold Coastal with an open hand. And Val and I are fully committed to Coastal and the work here. But we don't own you. We didn't go to Calvary for you. We didn't pay with our lives, but we just have the privilege of being custodians. So I refuse to be that kind of leader that will control and manipulate and be possessive of the flock, but truly just find it a privilege that Val and I get to pastor such a wonderful church. And so, but the caution comes, and it came when a pastor said this to Mike Palmer once. And we had fellowship this week. It says there, don't casually graze in other pastures. And when that was said, I suddenly, such a weightiness of the Holy Spirit came upon me and said that we need to all be under shepherds. And the shepherds, there is an importance with shepherds. And obviously my dad, when I was a young boy, had animals. He had cows, and he worked on the railroad, and so he had permission to graze his cattle and his animals along the pasture on either side of the railroad. But he couldn't do that without somebody being the shepherd that would look after it. Obviously, one basic reason, you just don't want to be them on the track so the train would hit them, you know. But there was another factor. There was and I'm talking about Zimbabwe, it was Rhodesia those days, that the herd would wander and feed. But there was a plant there called a Lantana camara, and it looks attractive. It's got berries, flowers, and the animals were attracted to it, but it was very detrimental because it made them very sick. And it, there was a campaign to try and get rid of this plant in the grazing lands, but I just realized the importance of making sure that a shepherd will guide you on the things that you feed on. The message I've seen challenge folk that have had an understanding of grace and suddenly listening to messages and it's laced with law. And so suddenly you're having a look at scriptures differently now because that person has still an understanding of law and not the full balance of grace. Then we have people that are just wanting to be believers and just be a believer, and then suddenly they have a message that will just compel them to be a doer, and they have to be a doer and for their behavior to belong. So suddenly there is that behavior in them that they feel they have to do something, otherwise God, they don't belong to God. I've seen messages where they muddy the heart of God, the love of God, the kindness of God. I see messages where they don't have the balance and the understanding of what male and female and the role and the one being superior than the other. And all this is laced into to different pastures that we may graze on. And I see different values and different worths. So as a shepherd, I don't want your hearts to be muddied with things that aren't really the representation of our King. And so we see people that were free suddenly get shackled with religion again. And then they go to the other extreme and they abuse grace. And then everything is permissible because God's grace. So I really caution you that where we graze. And so there's such a buffet online. But Proverbs 4:23 clearly says, yeah, keep. And our translation says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And so we have to guard our hearts, guard where we graze. And so just something I wanted to, so I caution ourselves to the about the buffet of messages that we have out there on social media. Maybe we need a social media distancing. This may be something we need to kind of look at. Amen. But I just wanted to say that this week we had a prayer meeting. This last Wednesday we had a prayer meeting in the building, and again we're going to have a prayer meeting this next Wednesday, and it's from 7 to 8. We keep it to an hour, but I want to just say that it is important that we understand the importance of praying. When the whole issue with in Egypt, when there was a famine, it wasn't Pharaoh the government that came up with a solution to get them through the 7 years of famine. It was Joseph, God's man, God's wisdom, God's understanding and foresight that gave Joseph the wisdom to take Egypt and the children of Israel through and be able to survive that. So when we come to pray, we are looking at issues that need to be dealt with and addressed in the spiritual realm. So come and join us. And then next Sunday, obviously, we got Pentecost Sunday, May 31st, and it's 50 days after Easter already. Can you believe it? Just felt like Easter was just the other day. Again, a very different Easter because we couldn't celebrate together. And so I have a great message for Pentecost. So tune in next week, and next week will be the last time you'll have to do it online because we start and we reopen on June 7th. And just want to let you know about that. So I just wanted to say that our theme when we dived into this year was the year of God's fullness. And God has designed His fullness to be displayed in and through us as the body of Christ. So God has placed and He's designed His fullness to be displayed through and through us and displayed in us by the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ is functioning, it's a wonderful thing to see. Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So we are here to display His fullness, but it's not by our own strength. It's because of His power working within us. So He's equipped us. We saw a glimpse of this when the mayor called us together to feed Palm Coast, and the church got together and the community got together and bought the food, and we saw the incredible work of the church and starting to display God's fullness and the joy that was expressed there. That word fullness is completely filled, containing all that can be filled, filled to the utmost capacity. That's what God is wooing us to in 2020. Yeah, 2020 definitely has come with a speed bump and adjusted, but I tell you what, it is an opportunity. And so as the body of Christ, we need to be joyful, thankful, peaceful, hopeful, faithful, graceful, merciful, helpful, mindful, and powerful. And I've added my own English word here, kindful. We need to display His kindness. And so we are here to display it. And when we display it in word, action, and deed, we display God's heart and His nature and His character. And they say, we want what they have. Because suddenly, we've taken all the religious constraints off our God and Savior and display Him in His wonderful character and His nature and His heart. And so we wanted to do that. So 2020, God has led us, directed us, empowering us to display His fullness. Has COVID derailed that? Never. It has been used to display the enemy and his work. It has tried our faith with fire and a challenge. It has caused us to refocus as family, as businesses, as a community, even as a church. We've had to refocus and have a look. We needed to recalibrate some of our values. So God doesn't waste nothing. He just causes us to go to another level of displaying His fullness and His grace. So it was wonderful to talk about His fullness and the year of God's fullness. But we tied it to a theme, a series called We Have It. And we've been preaching into it so that it emboldens us to display God's fullness. We've had titles like We Have His Spirit, We Have His Love, We Have His Life, We Have Effective Prayer, We Have Time, We Have His Word, we have worship. Juan did such a great job about talking about us and our worship. You understand that God has everything. He has no need for anything. Only thing He does not have is our worship. And so we have that. And it's a wonderful opportunity that we can demonstrate that. And I hope this time alone and that Juan spoke about would recalibrate and refocus us in our worship and stuff. But today I want to continue to emphasize what we have. I'm speaking about it because I want us to step up and step out. And where this came from, what we have series, it came from when Peter made the statement when he confronted a man born lame, begging at the gate beautiful. While one afternoon, he and John were going up to the temple to pray. He was obviously begging for alms and stuff. And this was Peter's answer. And this is what prompted me to have a look at this. And it says, and Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And I just realized that Peter confidently knew what he had within him that could speak to that lame man, born lame, never walked before, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, one word, walk. He not only walked, he jumped up, leapt, and praised the Lord, and went into the temple with them. And so we see that there was something he had. Is Peter unique and special and has a special place with Jesus? No, because I know my God has no respecter of persons, and He has made all this available to us. And so I have been really pressed to encourage the body of Christ to be emboldened to stand up and understand that we have His love, we have His Spirit, we have His Word, we have all those things that I listed. And so today's title, I've titled, We Have His Capacity. I really want us to understand that because I want us to think up. We want us to look up. And you say, well, good Lord, how can we have the capacity of God? Well, I just want to say this, that it's by design. And I just read in the scripture, right in Genesis 26. It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Man, so we were on the designing board and He was taking the design of Himself. Verse 27 in chapter 1, it says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. So there by design, He created us in His image, in His likeness. And so for what we've learned from Scripture is that we as men are a three-part being. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And Paul emphasizes this in Thessalonians, to the Thessalonica, in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He says, "Yeah, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." And so we see that we are a spirit. I wanted to say that in John 4, it tells us that God is spirit. And so we are made in his likeness, so we are spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotion. Our mind communicates with the actual brain matter, the tissue that's called the brain, but our mind communicates and interacts with that and causes our brain to then communicate with our body. But our soul, spirit, soul, and body, our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, and our body is our earth suit. I call it our earth suit because that's the thing that we'll leave in the grave because it's no use. Where are we going? So we are a spirit, and it carries the capacity of God. It has the ability to carry the likeness and the nature of God in our spirit man. And so Jesus came as a man and displayed the capacity of God. Our spirit is where God resides by the Spirit when we're born again. When we invite Jesus Christ into our life, we accept his payment plan that he made for our sin. We made in a place where we can invite his righteousness in. And when we're righteous in Christ, then there is a platform for Holy Spirit to come and take his residence within us. And so we see Jesus, Holy Spirit came and resided in Jesus after his water baptism. And I want to just read that scripture to you because it's important that Jesus was empowered by Holy Spirit. It says here in Matthew 3:16, after his baptism, that's his water baptism, and John had water baptized him, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove settling on him. And so we see here Jesus. Suddenly, the capacity of Jesus changed at that very point. And I'm going to be talking about Pentecost because our capacity changed the moment Pentecost came. So that event that took place there in Pentecost, and that event that took place when Jesus was water baptized and the Spirit came upon him, it afforded us, Jesus believers, the privilege of having his capacity. His capacity. And Jesus goes on, before he ascends, he's now talking to the disciples and communicating a few very important things before he ascended to heaven. And it says here in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, and it says, Jesus commanded them. Now he's talking to his disciples and those that were following him. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father has sent you the gift he promised. And as I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, those words were true. It goes on here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we'll understand that we will receive his capacity to do his work. So important that we are empowered and we allow Holy Spirit into that, into our lives, so because he empowers us. It doesn't make us better people. It just makes us better off in allowing Holy Spirit to come there. And Paul says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in me. So there's a capacity shift, and it's needed to carry the call, to carry the mandate that we've been given as believers. And so the capacity shifted even in the apostles' lives. Do you understand when before the Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them and then the day of Pentecost, man, they were getting things wrong. I mean, Peter has a list of things that he got wrong. But what happened after they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, their capacity changed, capacity to preach. Man, Peter preached and then 5,000 came to the Lord. And then they preached again and more came to the Lord. And so the capacity to preach, the capacity to pray, the capacity to handle persecution increased. I mean, there Peter, he says, no, I don't want to be hung like my Jesus. I want to be hung upside down. And he was crucified upside down, even being put to death. And so the capacity to pick up the kingdom of God and advance it came as a result of the capacity change within them. And when you realize there was a very pointed time that it happened. So we need his capacity to go the distance. And so I really want to encourage you that we have that as born-again, spirit-filled believers. We have that capacity. And the Father doesn't want us to fail in the front lines, because there is front lines that we have to push. There is the enemy that is against the kingdom of God, and we have to push forward in that. And so I remember training recruits. And Charles, if you're watching in Perth, man, it doesn't lose your memory how we push those recruits. And for 20 weeks, we got to take them from schoolboys and make them fully trained military people. And we would push them. Man, we would starve them of sleep. We would push them and run them and exhaust them and challenge their temperament until, I mean, while they're whining and complaining, we kept pushing. But when they went dead quiet, we knew we were right on the edge of them just breaking. And that's when we would stop and we would speak to them. And we want them to remember, when you get pushed in life and when you are pressed and you think you're exhausted, stop and think if you have ever been this exhausted before. And you'll find out that you'll pick yourself up from the bootlaces and you'll say, I haven't finished yet. And I tell you, in this ministry, as many times I just wanted to throw them in the towel, because it's not easy. And I was exhausted. I was tired. Val and I had just thought, man, we can't do this anymore. But then I'll stop and I think, is this the worst I've ever had in life? And I realized, never. I've been pushed far further than this. And I'd pick myself up with bootstraps and push. And I just want us to Christians to understand that, man, hard times produce good Christians. And I always say, man, the true flavor of the tea bag, us tea drinkers, comes out in the hot water. And I just really want us to understand that we need to press forward and release the capacity that God has given us. We have his capacity within us, and so we really want to do that. So we have his capacity. And here again, just some scriptures to just stir us up. It says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Where does it live? It says, lives in us, in us. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within us. I'm talking about a capacity that's been placed within us. And it's his capacity to do things that would cause resurrection life around us. And then 1 John 4:4, it says that the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world. So I really want to just stir us up and awaken us and challenge us and realize, man, we have capacity far greater than what we're producing. And so we need to step up and step out and release the capacity of God within our lives. Our believing would ultimately affect our behaving as soon as we realize that. Because in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we're commissioned to advance his kingdom. And to do that, we require his power, we require his ability, and we require his capacity to do that. Because all that we do in God, because he has a place within our lives, in our spirit man, to give us that capacity to go forward. And so the capacity comes by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to engage in that. And it says here that that there is a fact that there are more Olympians that sit on sofas and watch the Olympics than ever enter the Olympics. What I mean by that is that the potential of many more people being in the Olympics and breaking greater records is never found, because they never dig into that capacity. They find themselves sitting on the sofa watching others that have. And so we can sit back and say, well, that's the pastor's job. Well, that's the elder's job. That's the evangelist's job. No. I want us to step up and realize, man, we have a platform to preach in Walmart. We have a platform to preach amongst our social friends. Well, how do we preach? We preach with our lives. We preach with having words of knowledge. We're having words of wisdom. We have this incredible capacity And so I want us as believers to walk in it, to operate it in this capacity. So let me give you a couple of things that we have capacity in, and I want us to be aware of it. So we have capacity to love. Because it says here, 1 John 4:19, man, a scripture that transformed my life in the Easter 2017. When I really understood the scripture, it says here, we love because He first loved us. When I realized how much He loved us and that basking in His love empowers me to love others. It enables me to love others. It enables me to be a Jesus to somebody else because I sit on His lap and allow Him to love me, allow Him to saturate me with His love. And so, but Paul goes on and writes to the Roman church in Romans 5, chapter 5. He says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we're not left powerless without a capacity to love people. If we stop being selfish and become selfless, you'll realize that as we release the love of God in our lives, to love our enemies, to love our neighbors, to love those that just are not lovable, they're not nice, they're yuck. But I tell you what, God has given us the capacity to love people. And we also have the capacity with authority. We just don't have a capacity here, but we have authority to bind, loose, or forbid, or permit. And here in Matthew 16:19, it says, yeah, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And the keys are important. Keys give me authority. There's a multiple people that have keys to this building, and they have all the authority to come in this building and do what that's set out in the protocols of having the building, and gives us authority. And so they had keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be forbidden. So let me just read this translation because I'm quoting the King James, a New King James version. It says, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, it clearly is Jesus talking about us having the authority with the capacity. It's when you get given a whole lot of responsibility and not the authority to carry it out, it is very difficult to carry it out. But when you've been given the authority to carry out the potential and the capacity that you have, it is then possible to do. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told His disciples, this is before He ascended, and He came down, having taken the blood to the throne, He came back and He spoke to His disciples. And He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I want you to understand that He's been given all authority. So if He's been given all authority, there are a few people that don't have authority. I mean, the enemy doesn't have authority. The demonic world doesn't have authority. The way Lucifer took authority in the garden, that was taken away because Jesus went and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So He said all authority. Man, that's in heaven where He always had authority. But they lost authority on earth, came and established authority on earth through his life and His death and His burial and His resurrection. He gained authority in heaven. So now He has the authority badge. He has the authority title. And He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What is that? He's now delegating authority to go and do what we have the capacity to do. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's just bringing people into the family of God. And He says, I've given you that authority, that capacity to do that. So we've been given the capacity plus authority, which is a very, it's a confident booster, knowing that when I'm confronted with something and say, devil, I've been given authority to announce this, to speak this, to believe for that. So what other capacity do we have? We have a capacity to address mountains or obstacles and opposition. And it's important that we understand it. Mark 11:23, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And so we have been given that capacity to speak to obstacles, to speak to oppositions, to speak to them. And I'm always saying that many times we go to God and complain about the mountain or the opposition or the obstacles. And God's saying in this scripture, go and talk to that mountain about me. And when we do understand that we have that capacity to speak to obstacles, to speak to opposition, and we announce it, we understand that because we have been given that authority, shifts things. We speak to that mountain. Let me just tell you about my God. The mountain, God will flatten you and move you into the sea. Okay, what other capacity do we have? We have capacity to deliver healing. And I know that challenges some of the people, and they say, well, so healing passed with the apostles. Not the way I read my Bible. Not the way I've seen all these years now serving God over 40 years. I've seen God heal, touch, deliver, set free. So we have the capacity to deliver healing. We're the vessels through which divine favor flows, preventing misfortune in the lives of others. So Mark 16:17 says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Red writing in my Bible. Red writing. And so Paul, to kind of back it up, because obviously those that put the canon of Scripture together said that wasn't included. But I just want to say that there's certain lives that complement everything that took place here. Paul, we knew he cast out demons. He sorted out the demonic. Paul, when shipwrecked, gathering fire sticks for the fire, was bitten by a very poisonous snake, and the locals thought that he was going to be judged with death because that serpent bit him, and he flicked it off into the fire. Did not die. Didn't affect him. We know that he prayed for the sick, and we saw many healed at the hands of Paul as he ministered and he traveled. Paul had the capacity of God to deliver on the things of the kingdom. And so I say that because we have that capacity. That's another thought. We have the capacity to deliver his gifts. We're like the postman. We have the capacity to deliver his gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says here, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability, the capacity to give wise advice. To some other people, a different translation, the Spirit of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of knowledge. And the same Spirit gives great faith to another, gives them the capacity to have great faith. I've watched people that suddenly have a gift of faith, the capacity of faith by the Holy Spirit, and speak and announce things, and things happened in an amazing way. Great, great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. We've covered that. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another the ability to prophesy. And he gives someone else the ability to discern whether the message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while the other is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. So here we have the ability to deliver gifts by the Holy Spirit. Powerful. And I don't want us to ever just kind of keep it contained to the four walls of the building we worship in. We need to believe God out there in the workplace, in your social place, in your social time, or even in your Zoom time. Allow God with the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of knowledge. Allow faith to be delivered. Allow yourself to be the vessel of healing to some, and believe God for miracles. Yes, and the Spirit may come upon you, and you may speak in an unknown language and be interpreted, and somebody will be set free, and there'll be a now word for them. Because we live in a supernatural kingdom of God, and it's so exciting. So Holy Spirit gives us the capacity to deliver the gifts. So today, if we may find ourselves discouraged or lose perspective, forget who we are and whose we are, may I encourage you? Oh, you are a child and a daughter of the Most High God. And so we cannot diminish our potential and restrict our capacity any longer. I'm encouraging you to stand up. You and I are believers, and we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's an exciting thing which comes with such capacity. And so we are assigned to build God's family. We are assigned to advance His kingdom. And it comes with capacity to do that. He wouldn't ask us to do the job without the capacity to do it. So we have His capacity. And He says, I've empowered you. I've given you all that you need to allow the godliness and the kingdom of God to advance. So lastly, I want to just touch this, that every human being on earth has the capacity to be right and be in right standing with God. Every human being has the capacity to be righteous, to be the son and daughter of God, to be loved and accepted by God, which He does already. Without you even accepting Him or knowing God, He loves you, He accepts you. Why? Because God is love. No matter which way you cut God, He bleeds love. He absolutely loves you. But this scripture, I wanted to just kind of communicate this with you as I close. It says here in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And so when we agree and receive Jesus as God's Son, when we come to the understanding that Jesus did, historically He lived, and documented everywhere is how He lived. And so we've put a lot of that documentation in the Bible about who Jesus was. It cannot be denied, and it's very hard to disprove. After all the technology and everything that we have now, they still cannot disprove one word in the Bible. And so if we agree and we receive Jesus as God's Son and understand that He came, He lived, He died, and He was buried, and He rose again. And in that whole process, He paid for all of humanity's sin, all our sins, past, present, and future. He paid it all. So the only deal is now a relationship deal. Do you want a relationship with Jesus or don't you? Because in Jesus, we are set free from the power and the shame of sin. And so we all stand with the capacity to accept that truth, to accept that freedom that comes when we come to stand before a holy God, that we understand, my Jesus has paid for it. He says the debt is paid in full. And I would really encourage you that as we come today, as we listen to the truth of the capacity that we have the capacity to be right with God, to walk with God. I want to just encourage you that if you haven't made that step, if you've never RSVP'd that invitation to come to Christ, who had paid for your sin, paid for all our sins, past, present, and future, taken away the shame and all that comes with it. I tell you what, I grabbed it 40 years ago, and it changed my life, and I've lived with Him, walked with Him, talked with Him for 40 years. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't made that commitment, to those who maybe are hearing this for the very first time, Jesus wants just to come and cohabitate with you and visit with you. So if you are one of those, just pray this and say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God and that You died on that cross for me and paid my sins. Today I accept that. I receive that. I invite You into my life to have a relationship, and that when we walk to talk together and have a relationship, and that we can I can have You as my Lord and my lead. Just have that conversation with Him. He is waiting. The Father sent the ultimate price, Jesus His Son, so that we could have salvation. So I really wanted to encourage you on that, and realize that, church, we have capacity and we have His capacity. It is so virtually impossible to walk this walk as a Christian without God empowering you. There's just no ways, because when His power comes, it breaks the power of sin and its controlling aspects in your life. And I really want to encourage you with that. And so I just want to just pray for all of us here and just say a few things before I close today. I just want to say, Father, thank You. Thank You that we still have this ability with technology just to communicate and allow Your word to go out, touch hearts, touch lives, and stir me up, get me all excited here in the building to minister Your word. So, Father, I thank You that as we have heard from Your scriptures today, that You're encouraging us to know that we have a capacity in You to do great things, to go out into the highways and the byways to declare your goodness. Allow your love to flow through us. Declare those things to the mountains. Understand that we have the authority to go with it. So, Father, allow us to be the vessels through which divine favor flows this week. And as we go, we grow with you in our capacity. And we would just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for paying for all our sins. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for your grace that captures our hearts and woos us into a love relationship with you. We love you, Father. We love you. And Father, bless those that have been watching and those who will hear later on. Father, bless them. Walk with them. Provide for them. Some of them are going through incredible challenges. But my Father, if they can look to you, the author and the finisher of their faith, that they would be able to stand upon the rock and know everything else is sinking sand, but you're the rock on which we stand. And so I really thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Coastal, I just want to say thanks to you as a family that watch in and for all those that have participated in your worship and sending your tithes and your offerings. I just continually want to say thank you. There's so much we're getting to do and are doing. And so we're getting ready, getting our building ready for us to all gather. And I want to just tell you, the 7th, I'm here. I'm here ready to preach. I'm ready here to fellowship. Man, I don't care how far apart I have to stand with you, but I'm missing you. Val and I are looking forward to hanging out with you, looking forward to our worship time together. So we are reopening on June 7th, and we're doing it with all the other churches in the Palm Coast area. We're in step. We're praying for Life Coast, praying for Epic. They're all trying to get the schools to release them back into their building. So our hearts go to you. And somehow we can make a plan so you guys can get together again. Somehow we need to do that as a family of believers. So God bless you. Remember, you're valuable, you're precious, and you have capacity. And look forward to seeing you one more Sunday with online sermon, and then we're good to go. And I'm looking forward to that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.